Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die. 20. And if you're able physically this morning, let's stand out of reverence for the reading of God's Word. In Lystra, a man without strength in his feet, lame at birth, who had never walked, sat and heard Paul speaking. After observing him closely and seeing that he had faith to be healed, Paul said in a loud voice, "Stand upright on your feet." He jumped up and started to walk around. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they raised their voices, saying in the Lyconian language, "The gods have come down to us in the form of men." They started to call Barnabas, Zeus, Paul, Hermes, because he was the main speaker. Then the priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the town, brought oxen and garlands to the gate. He, with the crowds, intended to offer sacrifice. The apostles, Barnabas and Paul, tore their robes when they heard this, rushed into the crowd, shouting, "Men, why are you doing these things? We are men also, with the same nature as you. We are proclaiming the good news to you, that you should turn from these worthless things to the living God who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. In past generations, he allowed all the nations to go their own way, although he did not leave himself without a witness, since he did what is good by giving you rain from heaven and fruitful seasons and satisfying your hearts with food and happiness." Even though they said these things, they barely stopped the crowds from sacrificing to them. Then some of the Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and when they had won over the crowds and stoned Paul, they dragged him out of the city, thinking he was dead. After the disciples surrounded him, he got up, went into the town. The next day, he left with Barnabas for Derbe. Father, thank you, God, this morning, Lord, for the privilege of assembling as the body of Christ, the privilege of reading your word. God, I thank you today, Lord, that we don't have to wander aimlessly wondering what it means to know a creator, to love a creator. God, we know fully through your word, God, what desires, what purpose, and what will you have for our life. Let your word speak powerfully this morning. Let your Holy Spirit affirm it to our hearts. God, convict ones in this building and watching online this morning that may not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Father, today help them understand their need for a true relationship with you, and that the gateway to that relationship is only through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, that payment of sin that was made on our behalf. God, I pray you would hide me behind the cross today so that no one will look to me, but will look to the one and only true God for true life. We ask this in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Verses 8 and 10 again. In Lystra, a man without strength in his feet, lame from birth, who had never walked, sat, heard Paul speaking, and after observing him closely, seeing that he had faith to be healed, Paul said in a loud voice, "Stand upright on your feet," and he jumped up and started to walk around. Please, the first thing that I want to share with you this morning, which is faith is a critical component of seeing God's healing power in action. When someone's faithless, do you think you'll ever see the power of God? What happened when Jesus was going town to town and he went to a town and he saw their faithlessness? He didn't do many miracles there, did he? Because of that. We have scripture that affirms this. We understand this. And as a matter of fact, he said that in the towns, there have been many towns that have been destroyed, Chorazin and the ones I actually visited when I went to Israel, they were never rebuilt, by the way, when Jesus cursed them. They were never rebuilt exactly how it said in the scripture. You can actually see the ruins all 2,000 years later of these cities that were cursed. It said if those miracles had been done in those cities, they would have repented in sackcloth and ashes. I got chill bumps as I think about the words of scripture and the realization of what is the picture of God's power manifest, what mankind stands and goes, right? It's just the luck of the draw, right? How many times have people seen the power of God, but yet not even in any way been able to attribute it to God and to give God the thanks and the glory that he is due? See, we've got some, scripture is rife with pictures of the Holy Spirit. You know, some churches, I know even Baptist churches, where you mention the Holy Spirit, and pastor, man, they're going to rush him out the back door like he's got cancer. I said that here when I started pastoring. I said, I believe in what Scripture says, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's the convicting power in our lives. The Holy Spirit leads us, it guides us, it directs us. We've got the Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, and we've got God the Father. It's three in one. How they're three in one, but individual to it, I don't understand it, but it doesn't matter to me because I don't have to. Amen? I just believe it. That's what faith is. Now, I'll tell you what I do. If you and I stand toe-to-toe and you go, wait a second, you didn't watch Jesus die on the cross and raise him. You did not watch that empty tomb and know that Jesus Christ. You did not see that personally. So would you doubt that I'm here or that that happened? I'm going to just tell you right now, you'd think I need a little visit to Trust Point. I'd say, I believe that you're not real. And I mean that. Because I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ died on the cross, he bore our sin, he breathed his last breath, and 3 days later, he rose from the grave. That is an indisputable, undeniable truth to me. And by God, unless I absolutely, completely lose my mind, which I realize that can happen, that will be my heart song and my heart cry till the day that I breathe my last breath. And as Paul, I desire to be depart, which is by far much greater. Scripture says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We see the beautiful picture of the rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus in misery on earth, instantaneously transferred to Abraham's bosom upon death into paradise. We see the rich man immediately transported into a place of torment. And what does he do? Please dip finger in water and then touch it to my tongue because I am in this place in agony. Oh, you think that's some metaphorical picture? You can go on and sell yourself that lie. You can sell it to your kids or anybody else. Oh, you don't believe that the creation narrative is in 6 days and God rests on the seventh? Hey, throw it all out if that's what your mindset is. If you're not going to believe it, don't believe any of it. Don't go through the Bible and believe that you're going to cherry pick what you want to believe and not to believe, because if you don't believe it all, believe none of it. Because if it's not all true, none of it is, church. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, God's word is true. All of it. From leather to leather. Because what have I told you time and time again? 66 books written by all those different authors over the course of 1,500 years on all those different continents, not working together, and it's a seamless recording of history that each thing affirms the other by people who did not know each other, and you're going to tell me that it just happened. Again, then I will say to you, you need to check yourself into Trust Point. Amen? Because what you've done is what Scripture talks about people doing. You've deceived yourself and the truth is not in you. I know what God's Word's done to me because I know what happened to me on September 20th of 2004. And there is one thing about me. Anybody who knew me, I call it BC, before Christ, will tell you I am a black and white person. And I don't mean a white person and a black person black and white. I'm talking about if it's right, it's right. It's wrong, it's wrong. And plain and simple. And listen, when I gave my life to Christ, you think I've got a compulsion to sit around here and blow sunshine into the air for the next 40 years of my life? No way. Jose, there is nothing that compels someone to come sit in the middle of a cornfield in Unionville, Tennessee, and squander 40 years of his life just because you believe some fairy tale. No, I'm a black and white person. If it's right, it's right. It's wrong, it's wrong. And that's what I know. What Christ Jesus did in my heart, beyond a shadow of a doubt, was as plain as clear, and the transforming work of God was so real and so transformative. I recognize this morning, church, I have nothing to go back to. That's what this morning, as you see this picture and this component of recognize how important faith is to everything, not only just the healing part of God, but we see that in that picture right there, because what? He's lame. This person had been lame from birth. They'd never walked. After observing him closely and seeing that he had faith to be healed. Faith is what? Being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. Hebrews chapter 11, verse, hey, there it is. Sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. I'm so thankful this morning for faith. Now, I don't even say it's just because I have faith. I believe that as I've prayed and grown in God's word, God has granted me the blessing of a greater faith. When I placed my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I knew that it was real and there was nothing to go back to. And I'm thankful that God's grown that. And I'm so thankful this morning that it isn't the burning bush that has to convince me that God's real. God's consistent day by day, as that old hymn, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto thee. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and course in their courses above, join with all nature and manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness. Mm-hmm. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. See, God's ever-present provisional power in our lives, even day after day, providing the basic necessities for us, coming through when it seems like all else is going to fail, when we fall victim to our own desires or battles or attitudes, and the loving grace of God, the extent of his love for us, again, completely, day in and day out, week in and week out, astounds me, the level of God. Wes King sings a song, how deep is the love of Christ, incomparable kindness to lessen the weak. And it goes on, how wide, how broad, how high, how deep is the love of Christ. And I want to tell you how deep it is. There is no limit to the depths of his love. Because what that would mean is that, ready? There would be a level to which we could go, with which the reach of Christ's gift of salvation was unable to. Amen? See, I'm thankful this morning that no matter how broken you've been or I was at that point that God rescued us from the shipwrecked condition we were in, there was nothing we could have done and nowhere we could have gone that God's love could not reach us. Now, does that mean you go, oh, wow, yeah, so I'm going to go out this week and go do that because, yeah, oh, no, I'd be very careful. Scripture is very clear about that. Scripture is clear on a lot of that. We won't go into that because not today's message, but don't turn, as Jude says, God's grace into a license for morality. Amen? As God rescues you from the shipwreck of sin, recognize his purpose and plan is powerful, it's great, and his grace is sufficient for us. And then, listen as we move on to verses 11 through 18. When the crowd saw that Paul had done, they raised their voices, saying in the Lyconian language, the gods have come down to us in the form of men. And they started to call Barnabas Zeus, Paul Hermes, and because he was the main speaker. Then the priest of Zeus, whose temple was outside of town, brought the oxen and garlands to the gates. He and the crowds intended to offer sacrifice. And the apostle Barnabas, they tore their clothes and robes. When they heard this, they rushed at the crowd shouting, men, why are you doing these things? We are men also, same nature as you, and we are proclaiming the good news to you, that you should turn from these worthless things to the living God who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. In past generations, he allowed all the nations to go their own way, although he did not leave himself without a witness, since he did what is good by giving you rain in heaven and fruitful seasons and satisfying your hearts with food and happiness. Even though they said these things, they barely stopped the crowds from sacrificing to them. Isn't it amazing how the subtitle that I said there, misguided praise, you'll start to see the understanding of this come into focus. You know, we've all had people in our lives who've been instrumental in ministering to us. I know I have, from the time I was young, people who really demonstrated Christ-likeness to me, even at the times that I was running from God so feverishly that there's not many people that would have wanted anything to do with you, but those very few people who knew how to extend godliness but also grace and continue to reflect God's glory, it was a lighthouse to me during those periods until 29 years old when I came to faith in Christ. And this picture of what's happening right here is this misguided praise, and even with us, we can be fall into that thing where we can tend to misguide our praise and focus it on people rather than the Creator. Amen? We can easily do that because what are we? We're idol factories. Our hearts are idol factories. Understand when I say that. Go home and think about that for a few months, because it will take you a few months to really process the concept I'm trying to tell you in that. But there is one important thing we need to realize. There is but one God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. And there is but one Savior. There is no other name under heaven by which a man must be saved. And when someone's bothered by that and says, oh, I think you're so judgmental and you're this or that, it's not my truth, it's God's truth. And I won't apologize for it. Because there is but one gate. We know that you can try to jump in over the sides and try to fit in, but wolves in sheep's clothing will be differentiated. Amen? We know this. And I don't know why we find people that want to apologize for truth. It's not something that we should ever apologize for. And Scripture actually clearly says, if you deny me before men, I will deny you when you come into my Father's kingdom. There is an admonition to us, a warning not to deny him. What's going to happen? You're going to steal your birthday. Oh, what? My boss might get mad at me and fire me. Go, fire me. It's not my job anyways. I am glorifying and serving the Lord in my profession. God, you will open a greater door. I've had people here that have experienced that. And then when you get fired, shout, God be the glory. Amen. Some of y'all are going, oh my goodness, this dude's lost his mind. But then I ask you, what God you serving? If you're scared to death to stand up for Christ because you fear that something bad's going to happen to you and you're going to be in financial peril, what God you serving? If the God that I serve created all of this in 6 days, and please understand conceptually, ex nihilo, out of nothing, by spoken word alone, and this God holds you, and he can't deal with your hard-headed, rebellious boss, that it's not your obligation to sell them on what you believe, but to be a light, a testimony, do you really think that that boss is going to outwit the God of all creation? It ain't going to happen. So stand firm if you're a follower of Jesus Christ and rest in the truth that, again, transcends time, that changes generations, that sets captives free, that makes the lame to walk again and causes the blind to see. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I have seen the miracle of prayer in the last 3 months alone when I went into a person's room and they said that the call the night before and said they won't be alive at morning. I said, I've got the kids. I can't come till tomorrow, but I'd like to come and pray. This person's not even a church member. But I said, I'm going to go the next morning. And I walked in, and the people at the hospital went, what are you doing here? I'm on a pastoral visit now. Oh, they didn't know I was a pastor. And they're like, well, that's kind of cool, weird. I don't know. And I went, whatever, I'm going to go pray. So I went over to this person's room, and they were completely out of it. And I started praying over them. And I don't heal people. I don't grab handkerchiefs and I don't start selling $9 and you start doing this and we start shouting and all of a sudden people, no, it's not, I have no power. But I serve the God, Jehovah Rapha, the healer. And I know that until it's his, Bible says our days have been ordained before the foundations of the world. You know what that means? We're not going until it's time, amen? So I went in that room and started praying. And it was interesting because the nurses said he had no movement all night, eyes, nothing. He was just, they said he's a comatose state. As soon as I said amen, I opened my eyes, I looked, and he was looking at me. And I talked to him, and the man started, and I was like, amen. And I walked back up there, and I said, well, your comatose patient's in there blinking. And he didn't say an audible real word. You could just tell he was kind of delirious. And you know what happened in short order? They sat there and ate by noon. Now remember, this person was not going to be alive that morning. And by the way, this is a man well up in his 90s. He lived, if I remember correctly, about 60 more days, if not a few more. Well, what do you say? Well, I know that the Bible says his ways are not my ways and his thoughts aren't my thoughts. I know it wasn't his time. And he wasn't going to go until it's God's time. So when you trust yourself to the God of creation who holds your very breath in the palm of his hands, you've got nothing to worry about. Because as scripture says, height nor depth, angels, principalities, nothing in all of creation can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's Romans chapter 8, verse 39. And that's the truth. And see, remember, I've got no other truth to hold to. Or I'm out of here. If the truth isn't truth, I'm done. Church, all praise and glory must go to God alone is the second thing this morning. All praise and glory go to God alone. If someone says, thank you for being encouragement, you say, hey, praise God. I'm so thankful God's been able to use me as a blessing in your life. God is so good. You see what I did? Thanking them for being complimentary, but then redirecting everything to the Lord. You're able to encourage them and knowing they encouraged you, but then you ultimately took a mirror and reflected everything to the one who deserves the praise. The Bible says, every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, from the Lord of loves, who what? Does not change like shifting shadows. The scripture talks about the works that what? He prepared for us in advance. So you and I, being a blessing to someone, is only doing what God prepared for us in advance. We are living out his purpose. We are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works. You see that? It's his plan, his purpose, and we're living that out. Because what? He's the architect. It's all about him. And then move on, because I know we'll run out of time for too long. You visitors understand I battle long-windedness. I do it with good intention. Amen? I have wonderful intentions. There's so many things that need to be said, and there's this pesky little thing called time. Oh. Y'all just showed me that majority of you are Baptists. Verses 19 and 20, then some of the Jews came from Antioch and Iconium. When they had won over the crowds and stoned Paul, they dragged him out of the city, thinking he was dead. After the disciples surrounded him, he got up, went into the town. Next day, he left with Barnabas for Derbe. Third and final thing I want to share with you this morning. In suffering for truth, remember what Jesus suffered for us. Paul really went through it. But now you need to remember. Anybody know who was presiding over the stoning of Stephen earlier in Acts? Yeah. They were throwing their coats. They said they were laying their coats at the feet of Saul. And by the way, the person they laid their coats in front of was the person presiding over said execution or whatever the proceeding was. Saul had tormented many, many Christians. We know that. But yet, when it came time that he found out what truth was, he was in no way scared or ashamed and knew, by the way, when he went to Rome, he was going to die there. He knew that. Remember Agabus tied up? Remember? Person the belt owns his belt is going to be, right? He knew what was going to happen, but he was sold out to God's purpose and God's plan and had no fear because he realized that nothing could happen to him that was outside of God's will, and nothing could happen to prevent what God would use for his glory. You say, Brother Jonathan, I don't want to die because I'm a Christian. What are you scared of? There is one true thing. Ready? I'm going to tell all of you this. It's going to make you nervous if you're not right with the Lord. Nobody gets out alive. Nobody. Amen? Guy I've known for years this week, 35 or 38 years old. I don't know why, how he died. I hadn't found out yet. Know this man a long time, many, many years. Want to find out, right? We have that natural desire to want to know what happened. Nobody gets out alive. Unless Christ Jesus comes back and you believe in that rapture way where he's going to, that's why I don't care what, like I say, I'm a pan millennial. It doesn't matter to me because I'm going to keep doing what I'm supposed to do till it happens and I don't mind getting caught by surprise anyway. Amen? I just don't want to be found not being faithful. I want to be found busy about the Lord's work, His purpose and desire for my life. Church, this morning, if God's desire is to use you as a Stephen, as the person I shared with you in North Korea 14 years ago who had five children and a husband who was killed in North Korea by being placed in feet first into molten metal because she would not renounce Christ. She was having a home Bible study. And they said, all you have to do is renounce this publicly and we'll let you go home to your family. And she said, I cannot renounce the salvation that Christ has given me. And they put her to death and took her entire family and put them in re-education camp 14 years ago. I'll never forget, her name was O.K. Lee. That story will forever be burned in my memory because I realized what she was saying. She has nothing to go back to. Do you have that passion for Christ and realize, if I was to lose my life, what do I have to go back? If you get a chance, you can read D.C. Talk's version of it, Jesus Freaks, or you can read the Fox's Book of Martyrs. The D.C. Jesus Freaks goes up. I probably have a more updated version that comes all the way up to literally probably this year. And it shares the stories of believers who have died for their faith all throughout history. And I will tell you, some of those testimonies are some of the most riveting, most profound demonstrations that I've ever heard in my entire life. These are real stories. And there is one resounding theme in people who lose their life as a follower, as a Christian. And it's actually one of the things that people who are not Christians that are trying to stomp it out and they hate Christians, they get very angry. Because Christians, they say, die silently. And I've studied this in depth, and it's something called dying grace. It's in essence like Jesus, the power of God, the Holy Spirit, anesthetizes you. As we see with Stephen, what is Stephen doing as these huge, by the way, this is not some one-inch gravel that they're hurling. No, they're throwing stones at Stephen that are breaking bones, that are tearing into flesh, that we read in Scripture as Stephen is stoned. And we hear nothing but him professing and proclaiming the truth of the gospel. As then he says, I see heaven open and I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God the Father. As he then prayed equally as Jesus did, Father, forgive them for they know not what they're doing. Profound. And by the way, the demonstration in that, you can study it yourself. I want to live such a life that Jesus stands upon my entrance into eternity. Do you realize what a picture that is of Jesus standing to receive him? You don't stand but for someone that has great honor. What a testimony of a life demonstrating a love and a passion for something that matters more than all of this. I call this the two-dimensional. We are living a life focused on the three-dimensional, the upward. This horizontal is passing away, as Scripture says, all of us. You can look at your friends, you haven't seen them in 10 years, right? You look in the mirror and go, man, I ain't getting old. Or you look at them, man, they're getting old. Don't lie. Then you look at your pictures 20 years ago, oh my goodness, what's happened? We're all getting older. Everything's passing away. I'm seeing some of my friends right now that I don't even recognize anymore. People walk up and say, do you know who I am? And it's so embarrassing. Because I want to say, no, I do not know. And I'll, you know, kind of look there with a, give me a few minutes. Something's kicked in and I can't remember right now. When they tell me I want to, and, sadly, sometimes it blurts out, wow, you've gotten older. And I don't mean it in a mean way. I don't ever say that to a woman. Amen? See, my mama taught me something. But nobody's getting younger. The almost 15 years that I've been here at Longview Baptist Church, only church I've ever pastored, it's been like that. Just like that. I can't tell you the number of funerals that I've done here for, ready? Not only adults, but even children. I can't tell you. And all of those have been so many over time, so many unexpected, so many that should not have been. Church, time is fleeting. Are you investing this morning in what matters? What transcends time and eternity? The truth of God's word. And I talked to you last Sunday about eternity and taking all the sand on the East Coast with a bird in its beak and transferring all of it to the West Coast. If it flew back and did it a beak at a time, whenever you got the whole entire East Coast cleared, it hadn't begun. Eternity is forever. And I want you to understand this morning, the God of all creation and the God of eternity loves you, knows you, knows your worst struggles, your worst battles, your worst heartaches. As a matter of fact, we all want to know what the future is, right? We want to know what we're going to deal with this week. See, he knows. And that's why I love 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 and 10, because I realize that my power is made perfect in his. In my weakness, his power is made perfect. That's why I boast in my infirmities, my persecutions, weaknesses, because when I am weak, he is strong. And I'm thankful right now that though I don't know what happens tomorrow when that phone rings, and it happens every week, minimum one time a week with something in someone's life that's potentially earth-shattering. And I'm just so thankful that that old hymn, "Great is thy faithfulness," see, God is so faithful. God is so faithful. And see, we've been praying for Addison for, I guess, almost 2 years now. And you know, I kept, you know, "Lord, I know you're going to do it. God, I just don't," you know. And before I went to nursing school, we'd pick her up on Wednesday nights and have these conversations. And, you know, you just wonder, "Lord, I, you know, but I remember, God, it's not my time. It's your time. It's your purpose, your plan for your glory." And how exciting it was last Sunday when Aaron and Mary came in and said, "Hey, man, God's been working on Addison." And I'm telling you, I just wanted to jump, run around the church like one of those preachers on TV. Because why? I get excited when God turns the light bulb, let's say spiritually speaking. And it was so, I told her, I said, "That's the real deal." As Aaron and I sat in there and talked with her, I came out, that's the real, God had truly worked in her heart, and it gives me such joy. And I hope you know what I'm talking about this morning. And if you're sitting in that pew this morning going, "I've never been to a church like this, and I've never heard what he's talking about, but I want to know what he's talking about, because I can tell that dude doesn't joke. He's not playing games, and he understands and really truly believes what he believes." I want you to understand this morning, that's what the truth of what the gospel is. The gospel is the good news that though we don't have it together, there is one that does. And it's the architect in the very picture of outside and sitting in the woods, smelling the beauty. I love fall, church. Again, I better stop or I'll preach all day. When I go out there and that wind's blowing and we're on a high pressure right now, and I go out there and it's just so beautiful. And yesterday I said, "Oh man, God, this is awesome." The outside right now says, "I was needed." As I was sitting there watching the squirrels yesterday, you know, they're building nests now, getting ready to do their nesting, second nesting period for the year. And I'm just watching them run around. They're all carrying on. And I see the deer. I'm just going, man, this is just amazing. This is the God that created us and how our bodies really, for the most part, heal themselves unless something's wrong. God, people believe that this just happened. God, how deceived we can become. God, thank you for your creative hand, but more importantly, thank you for your love. Brother, sister, without faith, you can't even walk with the Lord. What's your faith in this morning? What's your faith in? I mean, ask yourself the question, what's your faith in? I hope it's not in people like Stephen Hawking. He was a smart man. People talk about his brilliance and his intelligence, which was so unparalleled. I beg to differ. A man that was so intelligent was unable to see the creative beauty of what was right in front of him. By the way, the man that's so intelligent spent the majority of his life in a wheelchair. And wait a second, if he was so intelligent, if I'm going to trust and base the decision to reject a creator on a man who tells me how intelligent he is but cannot tell me the formula with which to heal himself? Same way that I spent my 4 years in the wheelchair and the doctor said, "This is going to be the rest of your life." I was okay with that. Because it was after I'd given my life to Christ, it was God's plan, it wasn't mine. I was okay with that. But do you think for a minute that I would have listened to somebody who said, listen, there's no God, reject that God that you're believing in, when he can't tell me how to cure the common cold either? Let's go even more basic than that. I can understand ALS, a little more complicated, right? But what about the basic rhinovirus? Come on, somebody tell me. If you're so brilliant and you're so intelligent and you're going to tell me that the cosmos, you can't even go out there yourself and touch, feel, and take, you're going to tell me that that evolved out of nothing? I might be dumb, but I'm going to be honest with you, church, I'm not as dumb as I look. And I'm not about to get on the train with a finite individual and reject the infinite beauty, power, and creative genius of the God that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt this morning that created me. And my challenge to you this morning is, step back. Who holds your very life? Who holds your future this morning? Are you living a lie? Have you bought a lie? Or are you living by faith, by grace and through faith, in the finished work of salvation through Jesus Christ and the love of that God that desires to walk with you every step of the way until the day that you enter his presence? Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning, Lord, for the beauty that today... Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life, first, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin, today, if you want to, you can trust him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith ask him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.